verse 22. Sorry, 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And here's our verse for the year. Two verses. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is God's word to us this morning. We'll turn back to it in a few moments' time. Now, I want to encourage us today to behave like babies. All right? Not often that I would encourage such a thing, but for today, I want us to behave like a baby would behave. We've actually got a newborn baby in the room today. Can I borrow your baby? Let me come and get your baby. In a few weeks, God willing, I'll have one of these of my own. I don't want to break your baby.
She might vomit later.
But for now, I have to deal with your one. This is Roseanne McLean. Say hello. How old is she?
Young.
3 weeks old. Okay. 3 weeks old. She's really quite a sweet little thing. But babies at this age, they're not very good. They don't really do very much, do they? They do one of three things, basically. They either eat, sleep, or poo. And sometimes there's a combination of the three at the same time. And if they're crying, it's quite easy, because if they're crying, you know that it's probably one of those three things. Either they need their nappy change, or they're getting really overtired, or because they are hungry. And if they are hungry, a baby of this age will not stop screaming and crying and moaning until she gets what she knows she needs. Babies, even from this age, I'm really surprised that she's not crying at this point, to be honest. But babies, even from this age, have this inbuilt natural instinct, this urge to get milk. They crave the milk that they know that they need, as if their life depends on it, because it really does. It's even more important to them than sleep, which is why they're up all through the night. Is that right? Not too bad, hopefully. But that's why they're up every few hours to get another bit of food, because they know, they crave milk. Now, you can probably tell why I've introduced you to Rosa. I'll get rid of her before I break this child. Here you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, the reason I introduced you to Rosanna is pretty obvious from your card, right? This is the central commands in our verse for the year. Crave pure spiritual milk. So this isn't talking about literal milk, which is a good job for me because I'm lactose intolerant. But this verse is telling us to crave pure spiritual milk. What is the pure spiritual milk that Peter is talking about? Well, it's pretty obvious from the previous verses that the pure spiritual milk is the Word of God. That's clear from the context. Have a look at what Peter has just been talking about from verse 23 of chapter 1. He says to them, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring," what? "Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." If, like Peter's original readers, we are followers of the Lord Jesus, that means something amazing has happened to us. Not only have we been born once, we've actually been born again. Do you notice it said that? We've been born again through the enduring and living Word of God, which has brought enduring life to us. It's the Word of God, which is where we meet the Word made flesh, the Lord Jesus, the one who has the words of eternal life, the only one who has the words of eternal life, the one who died and suffered the punishment of eternal death on the cross in the place of sinners like me and like you, so that he can give that eternal life to everyone who will take him at his word. And because Jesus rose again, what that means is today he remains that living and enduring, life-giving Word of God, the eternal Word. And where do we meet the Word of God made flesh? We meet him in this, the Word of God written down. What we have preserved for us in this book, the Bible. You see, that's why we were born again through the Word of God, because it was in the Word of God that we met Jesus, the Word. And so Peter says, crave pure spiritual milk. And what he's saying to these people is, crave the Word of God. I wonder, do you? Do I? Crave is a strong word. Do we desire God's Word like babies crave milk? Regularly, persistently, repeatedly, eagerly, desperately. Babies are not content with just having a big meal at the beginning of the week and then, do you know what, I'm all right, actually, that'll do me. That'll be good, wouldn't it? Babies are not happy just to have like a small snack at the beginning of the day and then they'll just leave you alone, that'll be fine. They want it lots. They want it often. And when they are feeding, they drink long and they drink deep. They make sure they get every last drop of goodness. And then having drawn deeply on the source of their life, they find themselves deeply satisfied and content. And it's that experience of goodness that keeps them coming back for more. They crave the milk. Is that how we feel about God's word? Our 2020 vision as the church is for every man, woman, boy and girl to be regularly meeting Jesus in his word. That's our prayer. That's what we're going to be working towards as a church family. That every single one of us would have a regular, consistent, fruitful, personal time with the Lord outside of the times that we meet together on a Sunday or on a Tuesday. And that is only going to happen if we want it to happen. The only way that 2020 vision will ever be fulfilled is if we actually want to, if we crave it. You will not have a fruitful and sustainable quiet time with the Lord just because I stand up here on a Sunday morning and tell you to. It is impossible to have a close walk with Jesus out of guilt. New Year's resolutions are not enough. Of course, there is a place, an important place, for a Holy Spirit resolve to keep opening up God's word and to keep reading, even when we don't really actually feel like it. That's important. We do need that kind of discipline. But what I'm trying to say is, it is impossible. It won't happen. We won't have a regular, consistent, fruitful time with the Lord unless we actually want to, unless we have that desire, unless we crave him. At the end of last year, I sent out a survey about Bible reading. Thank you to those of you who responded. One of the questions was, what are the factors, what things make it difficult for you to have a personal quiet time? What makes it difficult and hard for you to read your Bible on a daily basis? Do you know the top three answers? The first was family commitments. The second was having an irregular routine. The third was work commitments. And there are all sorts of other things. There are all sorts of genuine reasons why we might find it difficult to have a personal walk with the Lord at a time every day where we read God's word. There are lots of reasons why we might find that difficult. But I want to suggest that almost all of those things would pale into insignificance. Almost every excuse we might give would actually not be quite such a big deal if we actually craved God's word. If we really wanted it, nothing would stop us if we felt how the psalmist felt in Psalm 42 when he said, 63, sorry, when he said, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." Or Psalm 42, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Wouldn't you love to feel like that? My desire this morning is not to try and make you feel guilty. My desire this morning is not to force feed you, but to just give a taster. And I'm praying that as we get a taster, it will whet our appetites so that we will naturally want to crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word, just like Rosanna craves milk. So let's see these two things. Let's taste two things about the pure spiritual milk of God's word. And the first is that it's nutritious. It's nutritious. Have a look at verse 2, which is the first part of the verse on your cards. "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." This milk is nutritious because it is everything we need to grow up. Something would be very wrong if the next time we saw the McLean family, perhaps they've been in Senegal for a year or a couple of years, and they come back to visit us again. We're looking forward to that. It'll be great to see you again. Something would be very wrong if Rosanna was the same size that she is now. In the same way, Christians are supposed to grow up. We are supposed to develop and mature. It's not that we somehow, as we grow up in our salvation, it's not that you become more saved, but rather that we grow up and into who we are as saved people. We don't grow a new identity, but we grow in maturity. And there is something very wrong if we are not growing in holiness, in Christ's likeness. At some point, baby Rosanna will stop growing. She'll reach a certain age and she won't get any bigger. That's good, that's natural. It would be weird if she didn't. Imagine how tall she would be by the age of 50 if she never stopped growing. But for Christians, we never stop growing. We never reach an age or a certain maturity where there is nothing more to learn. We should always be growing, always be building, always be developing. We should always be growing in our love for God and our love for each other. We should always be growing in our ability to say no to sin and to say yes to godliness. We should always be growing in our understanding of God's word and our understanding of God's will and our walking in God's ways. No matter how long ago you might have been born again, you still need to grow up. And I hope we want that. I hope we desire that. Perhaps you made some New Year's resolutions. In the same way that you might have set work targets or fitness goals, I really hope that as you turned the page on a new year, it was your genuine heartfelt desire for the glory of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus this year, to grow up in your salvation. How is that going to happen? Through the milk. Verse 2. Look again. It says, "Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." The milk is the means by which we grow up. At the moment, baby Rosanna, I'm making the most of them being here and using them as an illustration all the way through, all right? But at the moment, baby Rosanna is growing. She's growing at probably quite a rate. She's probably much bigger now than when she was born, even 3 weeks ago. I know they dip a bit, but then they come back up again. And the amazing thing is, she is growing and developing at an amazing rate simply on milk. It's remarkable how nutritious that milk is. God, in his genius, has designed it so that a mother's milk is exactly what that child needs. Tailor-made for that particular child at that particular moment. Not just with all of the nutrients that she needs to be able to grow up, but also with all of the good stuff in there to battle against and to fight back against any disease that might attack. And so it is with God's words. This word of God, this pure spiritual milk, is a remarkable blend. How many of us have experienced this for ourselves? We know from our own reading of God's word that in these pages is everything that the child of God needs to be able to grow up. Everything the child of God needs to be able to fight back against the attack of the devil. It's a remarkable thing. The pure spiritual milk of God's word is full of all of those goodies. You see, not only is growing up a good thing to want, a good thing to desire, it's actually absolutely necessary. Peter's original readers, he describes them in chapter 1 as exiles, as those who are scattered through that whole region. And the reason they... Anyone know the reason they're scattered? Someone tell me. Persecution, yeah. They were suffering as Christians, and they were scattered across that whole region, and things weren't going to get any easier anytime soon. And so as Peter writes to his readers, he wants to tell them, look, if you are going to live Christ-like, God-glorifying lives in a very hostile world, you need this. You need the pure spiritual milk so that you will grow up, so that you will be strong. The same is true for us. I don't know what your hopes and dreams are for 2020. Maybe you have got plans, stuff already written down in your diaries. There's lots that we don't know, right? There's lots that we can't plan. But one thing is certain, 2020 will bring struggles. 2020 will be a year of challenge in all sorts of ways. It might be persecution, or it might be something else, personal challenges, health issues, all sorts of things that will challenge us at various points throughout this year. And if we are going to stand firm in the storms of life, then we need to grow up. We need to be big and strong, fed on the pure spiritual milk of God's word. You know, the devil would love to convince us that as long as we've become Christians, we don't really need to grow as Christians. But how do you think we're going to stand as Christians if we're as weak as a baby? Growing up is absolutely necessary. And if we're going to grow up, we need to put the right stuff into our body. Notice how it's described, not just as spiritual milk. What's the adjective to describe it? Pure. This is pure spiritual milk. I guess many of us are starting the new year trying to eat clean after perhaps one too many biscuits over the Christmas break. I even had a salad and some soup this week. Hope you're proud of me. Here's a superfood for your January detox. The pure spiritual milk of God's word. It is pure. Despite what our Muslim brothers might want to tell us, the word of God is free from impurity. There are no dodgy ingredients. Nothing that's going to harm us. In these pages, you will find stuff that is good and only good. And the great thing about it is you can never have too much of a good thing. Pure spiritual milk. All of it. Every single page is here to build us up, to help us grow. Even the stuff that we struggle to understand. On the survey that I mentioned, one of the issues that came up was that a lot of us find... We do enjoy reading some parts of the Bible, but then there are other parts where we get a bit bogged down, or we get a bit confused and we struggle to understand it. We enjoy reading Mark's Gospel and Ephesians and Romans and all of that good stuff. 1 Peter, that's all right, we can deal with that. But what on earth is Chronicles about? When you get to Numbers and Leviticus, you're just like... Have you ever got to the end of a quiet time? You've sat down to read the Bible. You've made the time. You feel really good about it. You open up the Bible, you read a passage of God's word. I have no idea what that means. You get to the end, you think, do you know what? I have no clue what I'm supposed to take from that part of God's word. How does that help me? That was pointless. Do you know what? I do. I feel like that a lot of the time. And I think we've got to trust that God's word will do its work. We trust that over time. Look, here we go. Perfect illustration. Thank you, Rosanna. I'm glad that you're here. Rosanna, when was she last fed? Like 20 minutes ago? Half an hour? And now she wants some more food. She's craving the pure spiritual... No, not spiritual. But, you carry on with that and we'll carry on with this. We've got to trust. This is a perfect illustration, right? Because we can't see any difference right now between Rosanna now than she was half an hour ago, right? She's had a feed since then, but we can't see any difference in her. But we trust that over time, all of those meals will add up, and someone the size of Rosanna will become someone the size of Alex. Maybe, hopefully not that big, actually.
All right. Yeah.
But we trust that the word does its work. Even those meals where we get to the end and we think, I don't really know. We trust that he is building us up. Do you know one tip when you find it hard, when you get to a passage like that and you don't really know what it's on about? One thing that is helpful to ask is to say, I might not understand everything, but is there one thing that this teaches me about God? Or perhaps one way that this helps me to pray? And normally, no matter how bizarre the passage is, you'll have something about God or something that helps you to pray for the day. But we trust that even when we have moments like that, our act of faith, as we obey his command to meet him in his words, God will bless those acts of faith as we stretch our minds and we stretch our hearts in parts of the Bible that are kind of the backwaters that we don't really understand. God will bless those things. So keep going. And over time, the pure spiritual milk of God's word is going to build us up. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for us today. To grow up, you need to put the right stuff in your body. And if you feast on the pure spiritual milk of God's word, if you do it, guess what happens? You will grow up. You do mature. We see that in the people that we know. Think for a moment about one person that you know who's a Christian, someone that you really respect, someone who you believe to be a really mature, godly woman of God or man of God. Get someone in your mind. Have you got someone? I guarantee, without fail, that all of the people that we're thinking about are people who feast on the word of God. People who are regularly reading God's word and meeting Jesus there. But that makes sense, right? Because the way that they've got to that mature place, the way that they have grown up, is by feasting on the pure spiritual milk of God's word. Which is why, this year at Silver Street, as with every year, the Bible is going to be at the heart of everything that we do. Each Sunday, this is what we're going to be doing. Opening up God's word, meeting Jesus here, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, so that we get a varied diet. On Tuesdays, we're also going to be in God's word, whether that be in a prayer meeting here. We always start with God's word so that he can shape our prayers. And then every other week we have small groups in homes. I'm really excited about small groups this term, because we're going to be going together through the book of 2 Timothy, but we're going to do it using some Bible handling tools. The idea is that as we learn these Bible handling tools together, it will equip us with everything that we need to dig into different parts of God's word. So not just 2 Timothy, but whatever we're reading in our own personal times with the Lord, with these tools, we're going to be able to understand so much more, even Chronicles and Numbers and Leviticus. So please do come along on those Tuesday nights. The more you come to those things, the more tools you have in your tool belt, as it were, the better you'll be able to understand God's word. That's Tuesday nights. Talk to me if you want to sign up for a small group. But on top of the stuff that goes on in church, can I ask you about your personal time with the Lord? Would you agree with me that to grow up, you need to put the right stuff in your body. That's true, right? And so can I encourage us to not fill up on junk food? Perhaps one of the reasons that we struggle to crave God's word is because we're so full already, stuffed full of other stuff. We live at a time where there is more media available to us than ever before. Like never before, there are so many voices filling our head so much of the time. And so can I encourage you at the beginning of a new year to make it your priority for the voice of the Lord to be the first and the loudest voice that you hear every day. As we feast on God's words, we are going to grow up, because this spiritual milk is nutritious. Just like a mother's milk, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and it's found right here. What a privilege. Second, it's nutritious, but it's also delicious. This pure spiritual milk is nutritious and delicious. And that's a rare combination. One of the problems with healthy food is that it doesn't taste as good. And so you don't crave it in the same way. I mean, you never find someone at the end of a really tough day, they get home, feet up on the sofa, and think, do you know what? I could really do with a salad right now. It doesn't happen. You don't find Deliveroo drivers queuing up outside the greengrocers, delivering raw carrots to people's doors. That's not how it works. But this pure spiritual milk is both nutritious and delicious. It has the health benefits of spinach, but it tastes like burgers and donuts. It really is that good. Look at verse 3, or the second half on your page. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Do you see the logic? The reason that he can command them to crave is because they have tasted the Lord's goodness. He says, crave this pure spiritual milk now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The reason he can tell them to desire the pure spiritual milk of God's word is because he knows that they already have a taste for Jesus. He doesn't need to convince them how good he is. It's not hard to convince someone to eat chocolate cake. You might struggle to get Brussels sprouts and greens down your kids, but chocolate cake is not hard. You just give them a little taster and they'll immediately crave some more, because they've experienced for themselves just how good chocolate cake is. The only way that we're going to crave something is if we've seen for ourselves that it really is delicious. And so Peter reminds his readers and he says, look, what I'm commanding you to do here, it should not really be that difficult for you, because you are people who have tasted the sweetness of the Saviour. He says in chapter 1 about how God in his great mercy has given them new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. That's good news. He says you've seen something of the Lord's goodness. You've tasted it. He's already dished up in chapter 1. He's dished up the delicious truth that even in our suffering, God has a joyful, glorious purpose. They have tasted that the Lord is good. And what's true for Peter's original readers is also true for many of us here this morning. Though we have not seen him, we love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him, don't we? And we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Many of us here this morning have tasted the sweetness of the Saviour. We have come to Jesus, the bread of life, and we have eaten our fill. We have come to Jesus, the spring of living waters, and we have had our thirst quenched. And as we feasted on God's word, many of us would be able to put up our hands and say with the psalmist, it really is sweeter than honey. I'm sure all of us who have been God's people for any length of time have had that experience. You can nod with me if you agree with this experience. I've had the experience of opening up God's words and finding it to be nourishing and filling and sweet and good. We've all had those moments where the word of God seems to, as we read it perhaps out loud, it seems to linger on our lips like a fine piece of chocolate. There's just something about it which is inherently good. We've known seasons where we've found ourselves deeply satisfied in God's word, and at the same time satisfied but craving more of it. We know from experience that God's word is delicious. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. She agrees. I'm loving that interaction. You know, there are some here today who have not yet tasted the goodness of Jesus. It's quite hard to describe a taste to someone else. But come to him today, and you will find yourself deeply satisfied in this Lord Jesus who we meet in the Word. When you get a taste for chocolate cake, you crave more. And when you get a taste for Jesus, you will naturally want more of him. You see, this is why I said this is the only way that we are ever going to be able to obey this command this year. The only way that our 2020 vision will be fulfilled. The only way that every man, woman, boy and girl will be regularly meeting Jesus in his word is if we want to. We will not crave pure spiritual milk just by trying harder. Okay, crave. In fact, it's the opposite with cravings. You have to stop cravings because they're so strong. New Year's resolutions are not enough. We will only meet Jesus in his word if we want to, and we'll only really want to if we've already tasted something of his goodness. So my aim for today is not to force feed you through a tube, but to just invite you to a banquet. Take a taste for yourself. Over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time in Psalm 119, a series we've called Taste. Because that's what I hope it will do. I hope it will give us a taster of the sweetness of our Saviour and the richness of the Word of God. But as well as that, here's something practical for our own personal Bible reading that I think will help us to be able to take a taste. I want to help us to slow down and savour the flavour. Sometimes we rush meals, don't we? Sometimes I rush meals. Perhaps you're on the go, you're travelling. And you need to grab something quickly to eat, and you wolf it down. It's not for the taste, it's just fuel. But on other occasions, you slow down. In fact, the better the quality of the meal, the longer I normally take to eat it. So if I've been to your house and rushed a meal, it obviously wasn't very good. No, maybe not that. But sometimes, as a better example, sometimes on a special occasion, Riss and I will go for a posh meal. And they only give you the tiniest little portions, but you eat it so slowly, savouring every flavour. And perhaps one of the reasons why we don't crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word is because we treat it more like that rushed meal on a go than a wonderful banquet. If we took time to realise the richness of what we're eating, I think it would make a big difference if we just slow down to savour the flavour of the Saviour. One thing that might help with that, again a very practical thing, is to use a physical Bible. On that survey, it became clear that most people use Bibles on their phones rather than a physical Bible. And, you know, it's a great blessing to have a Bible on your phone. You can have it anywhere, you know, wherever you go with you. And I use both, so they're good things. But my preference is to open up a physical Bible. And the reason for that is because I think our phones train us to take in bite-sized chunks of information. And they train us to always be doing several things at once. And so it can be a really good thing actually just to put that phone away from distractions, put it face down, turn it on silence, put it somewhere in another room perhaps. And just open up a physical Bible so that you savour the flavour of the Saviour. Another thing that might help. Again, this is a very practical thing. But I think this will help us to taste the goodness of Jesus. Is if we just spend a tiny bit longer with him. Just to slow down and spend a little bit longer with him. On that survey, it was anonymous. And I asked you to check a category. How much time do you normally spend on average as a quiet time? How much time do you spend reading the Bible and praying? And there were different categories, 0 to 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes, and so on. And I wonder if a good target for each of us this year is to move up a time category. Just to spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes. That's not long to find. I think most of us could find an extra 5 or 10 minutes in our day, just on top of our normal time with the Lord. Now, not out of some sort of legalistic thing, because I've just said to you, that's not going to work by me just telling you to do it. But I think that will be a practical thing which will help us to savour the flavour. It will help us just to slow down and take advantage of that time, tasting that the Lord is good. And as you taste that the Lord is good, you will crave more of the spiritual milk. It will help you to do that. I'll close with this. On one of those special occasions, Rhys and I went for a posh meal at Tom Kerridge's Bar and Grill. Has anyone been to Tom Kerridge's Bar and Grill down in central London? We were going for the set lunch. But when we arrived, you always look through the menus anyway. And I noticed something on the bar snacks menu. Fried chicken. Now, fried chicken is my nemesis. I love fried chicken. And when I saw fried chicken on this menu, I thought, from a place like this, a restaurant as good as this, how glorious must that fried chicken be? And so before we ate our set lunch, I asked the waiter to bring me some fried chicken. The look on his face told me that that was not really the thing to do, but I didn't care. He has to serve me. So I was there with my fried chicken. And can I tell you, that fried chicken. Ever since, I have been craving this fried chicken. At times, I've even considered going into central London simply to get this fried chicken one more time. It was like these two glorious, was it two or three? Two, I think. Two glorious chunks of golden brown, moist, succulent chicken. The breadcrumbs over this fried chicken was like nothing I've ever tasted before. The seasoning was perfect. The dip, it came with a harissa mayonnaise, which just made all of the flavours sing together. It really was one of the most glorious experiences of my life. I can't explain to you. Like, I've had fried chicken before, but now when I had fried chicken this time, it was like it was something new. It was like something, a whole new creation. This fried chicken was the greatest fried chicken I've ever had. And I could probably talk to you about fried chicken for the rest of the afternoon. But actually, we don't have fried chicken today. Say that again. Shall we have an outing? Do you know what? I'd love to take you. And that would be the best thing I possibly could do, actually. Rather than just telling you about it, the best thing I could do is take you to Tom Kerridge's Bar and Grill. We'd pack out the place and I'd get everyone fried chicken. And you could taste and see for yourself just how good it is. See, I could convince you till I'm red in the face about how good this fried chicken was. But you will never crave it like I crave it unless you've tasted it for yourself. And I can tell you from personal experience, not only have I had that fried chicken, but I've also tasted and seen that this really is nutritious and delicious. It is sweet and it is good, but you don't have to take my word for it. As it says in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. We live at a time where this is available to us like never before. What a privilege. And let me encourage you at the beginning of the new year to taste for yourself and see that the Lord is good. Let's bow our heads together. Our Father in heaven, you are a good, a great, a glorious God. You are a God beyond our imagination and beyond our description. It is hard to put into words how good you are, but we praise you that many of us have tasted and seen for ourselves. We know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. We know exactly what your word is talking about this morning, because we've tasted the sweetness of the Saviour. And Lord, we long for those times again where we taste your sweetness. Lord, it's not always easy. We go through seasons. But we pray that at the beginning of this new season,
that you would help us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Help us to do the practical things we can to allow that to happen, rather than just rushing meals and having fast food. Please would you help us, Lord, to savour the flavour of our Saviour as we daily open up your words. Not out of duty, not out of guilt, but would you give us, by your Holy Spirit, that desire? Would you move our hearts so that we long to be in your presence? And as we come into your presence, would that only fuel that desire even more? But we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your word so readily available to us. Please this year, would we crave that pure spiritual milk? Would we taste and see that you really are good? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.